Well, how many is happy to be at Truth Camp this year? Amen. Tell you what, I think we could leave already and say that God's met us here, changed lives, done great things. And but I told preaching a youth camp a couple weeks ago, and man, it was like from the very first service, God was just moving, done filled a lot of people with the Holy Ghost by the second or third service. And but I felt prompted of the Lord to tell him to get up there that if we've still got services left, it means God's not done yet. And even if you've already been filled with the Holy Ghost, you've already been touched or whatever, these altars are still here. There's still a word that's got to be preached. We still got about three or four services left. And what that means, young people, is whoever you are, God's not done in your life at Truth Camp yet. So don't count yourself out that, well, I got my touch last night. I got my touch yesterday morning. God's still got a lot more in these altars for everybody that would come willing and ready to jump in and see what he has. So we're excited to be here. We're no strangers to Truth Camp. I've been here since my 2010 was my first year, and just this camp's meant a lot to us. I want to thank Brother Don Goodwin, Brother Lucas, everybody, the Truth Camp board that has put this on. Can we give the board a huge, come on, you guys don't realize what goes into something like this. Oh, come on, you can do better than that. If you appreciate Truth Camp, let them hear it. We appreciate every worker, everything that goes into this. And I'm not going to take up a whole lot of time this morning on that, but just so appreciative of the impact it's had on my life, on my wife's life, and everybody, I believe, that's been touched by Truth Camp. And I appreciate it so much. And we are doubly honored that we have an opportunity. Pastor Don and the board would allow us to come and share with you guys this morning. Feel heavily honored and privileged to be here, and just looking forward to what God is going to do. I'm going to talk to you just for a second about the School of Ministry, and then we're going to preach. We've got a video that they are getting ready, and we are going to play that. For those of you that don't know about the school, we've been established in 2019, based out of Tyler, Texas, Harvest Time Church, and Pastor Matt Gregory, and we are Harvest Time School of Ministry. And what the School of Ministry is, it's a 9-month to 2-year program, meaning that you can come and graduate in the 9 month and get your certificate, and it's a non-accredited, so you can't use it towards like credits towards college. It's not necessarily built for that, but it's mainly built, the first year is built for those that feel called into full-time ministry. And we hear it all the time, Brother Stephen, I don't feel called to full-time ministry. That's all right. It's for you too, because it's a place where young people can come, and the way everything's moving and the way the world is headed, we need more than ever. We need young people grounded in the Word of God, bathed in prayer and in the anointing of the Holy Ghost, whether you're working in full-time ministry or whether you're going to college, working a job, whatever. And that is what our heart is. So the first year is geared towards a bunch of practical things. I would teach a lot of ministry classes, as well as biblical marriage, biblical financing, biblical parenting class, a lot of the practical things. And then the second year is an option. You say, well, I feel called into ministry, maybe full-time, part-time, but I want to, the second year is built as a leadership platform to train you in the leadership of being used in the ministry. And so if you'd like to know any more information about it, we do have students all around the camp, the sanctuary. We've got several, about 6 or 7 of them here, and we have some brochures on the back. But I do want to play this video. We do have a new program that we are starting this year, and we have really had a burden for World Harvest Missions has got several mission projects going on right now, planting churches and different things, and we've have a strong desire to train missionaries, and so we wanted to incorporate something in the School of Ministry specifically designed for that. So we are creating for this year, we're launching it, and it's going to be our missions apprenticeship program for those of you that feel burdened and called towards missions. And so if they could get that video ready to play, we are going to go ahead and play that.
Hello, my friend. This is Pastor Matt Gregory from Harvest Time School of Ministry. Today, we're in the beautiful Ural Mountains here in Honduras. We're excited to announce we're building a church, a Christian school, and a facility to bring teams from the U.S. God is moving miraculously in these mountain ranges. The Pentecostal fire is spreading everywhere. What I want to talk to you today about is the new program the mission program we're starting at HTSM. If you feel called to missions, you can enter into that program, still get the benefits in the first semester of the tour, the outreach, and all the classes that HTSM provides. But in the second semester, you'll branch off in different classes and be trained from missionaries here in the United States, around the world, in person and virtually. God's moving by His Spirit. The Bible says the harvest truly is white, but the laborers are few. If you feel called into a mission field, prayerfully consider HTSM in the 2022-2023 year and see what God will do in your life.
Man. So as the video said, we're excited about what's going on at Harvest Time. And this is for those that feel called to the missions. We've already got several that have signed up for this particular program. And one thing that we didn't mention in the video is that everybody that's on the missions part of the program that signs up for that in the second semester, not only are you going to be trained in missions, but we're actually going to be taking you, the whole school goes on a mission trip, at least 1 to 2 mission trips. But for those in the missions apprenticeship program, we're actually going to be taking you guys, and you're going to be spending anywhere from 6 to 8 weeks on the mission field in at least 2 different countries, being trained on the grounds, working in missions full time for that 6 to 8 weeks of your training. So if you'd like any more information about that, hit us up and we'd be glad to get that information in your hands. So, all right, well, if we could turn to the Word of God, we're going to go ahead and get started this morning. I was asked, I'm not going to say by who, but I was asked, how long you going to preach? You going to be long-winded? And amen. My response to them was, I tell you what, the louder you are, the less I'll preach. Deal? Amen. Amen. They don't want me to preach. No, but for real, you guys, listen, I told them, I said, listen, the louder you guys are, the shorter I'll be. You get in and help us. We'll let the Lord move, get in these altars. But I do believe God wants to do something. So if we could stand for the reading of God's word, Acts chapter 19. Acts chapter 19, verse number 13. Acts chapter 19, verse number 13. If you were there, say amen. All right. Verse number 13, the Bible says, then certain of the vagabond Jews, exorcists, took up upon them to call over them which had evil spirits, the name of the Lord Jesus, saying, we adjure you by Jesus whom Paul preacheth. And there were 7 sons of Sceva, a Jew and chief of the priests, which did so. And the evil spirit answered and said, listen to this part, Jesus I know and Paul I know, but who are you? And the man in whom the evil spirit was leaped on them and overcame them, prevailed against them, so that they fled out of the house naked and wounded. Tried to cast out a demon, and the demon from hell spoke back and said, we know who Paul is and we know who Jesus is, but we have no idea who you are. Now, when I read this, I thought this has to be, in my opinion, probably the greatest compliment that anybody in Scripture has ever gotten. It's one thing for heaven to know who you are. But for a demon in hell that Paul gets right here, where the demons speak up and we say, of course we know who Jesus is. And then they threw Paul up there and say, oh, and Paul, everybody down here knows who Paul is. He's done, caused so much ruckus in the kingdom of hell, so many problems, every demon in hell knows who Paul is. In my opinion, that's got to be the greatest compliment that anybody has ever gotten. But in this scripture is also what I believe to be the greatest insult to a so-called child of God. For that devil to look back and say, we know about Paul, but who are you again? I don't recognize you. I don't recognize who you are. And for any blood-bought, born-again, Holy Ghost-filled child of God, hell needs to know who you are. I know heaven knows who you are. If you've been washed in the blood, heaven's got your name written down in the book of life. But young people, I come to preach this question right here. Does hell know your name? Are you so full of God and so full of the Holy Ghost that it, not just the angels in heaven know who I am, but every demon in hell knows me by my name? And that's what I want. We're just going to preach that thought right there. Does hell know your name? And if he doesn't, then my assignment this morning is before this service is over with, he's going to know who you are. I believe in this service, hell's going to get a revelation from some young men and women that get a hold of God like never before, and God moves in their life. Stretch your hands towards heaven and ask the Lord, Father, we thank you for everything that you've done in every service. Your spirit has come down. You have moved mightily. But God, I pray that you would not pass us by this morning. I know that you desire to work. You desire to work in the hearts of these young people. God, I pray for every chain to be broken in this house this morning. I pray for every spirit of bondage to be released in the name of Jesus. God, I pray for the Holy Ghost anointing that would reside in this house and move in a way that only you can. And I pray that before we leave this service this morning, that somebody would find their identity in Christ Jesus, and that heaven wouldn't just know, but that hell will realize that there's a group of young people at Truth Camp Texas that is on fire for God and ready to do something for the Lord. I ask this in your precious, wonderful name we pray. And everybody said amen. Amen. As you're seated, touch your neighbor, wake him up a little bit while I get this noose off my neck. Amen. All right. Now I can breathe. Amen. You're going to help me preach this morning, aren't you? Amen. Does hell know your name? Does hell know your name? I want to ask you this question. What's in a name? What's in a name? Because a name isn't just a name. A name carries an identity. It carries something attached with it. When I say the name George Washington, what do you think of? President, right? First president of the United States. It carries an identity. If I say Michael Jordan, basketball. All right, Abraham Lincoln, the 4th of July, another president, right? King David, we think of Goliath and these other things. If I say Dustin Brown, well, let's not go there. Amen. Your name carries an identity. And in the spiritual realm, your name carries a spiritual identity. And I want to ask you, your name is connected to something. It's more than just a bunch of alphabets put together that sound right. It carries an identity connecting to something. I want to ask you guys this morning as we get started, does hell connect your name to the crimson blood of Calvary? Does hell connect your name with the baptism power of the Holy Ghost? Amen. Does hell recognize the anointing on your life? Does hell recognize the call that God has put on your life? I believe in this service this morning, God wants to send hell a revelation of some young man and some young lady. I didn't know them before, but today I know them by name. Hallelujah. I feel the Holy Ghost in this house. I believe there's some devils that are going to be crying. I didn't know who they were before this week. But when they came back from Truth Camp, I found out that there's more against us than what we thought. They were no name before. They didn't have an identity, but something happened. They got a hold of the anointing of God. They got a hold of the power of the Holy Ghost, and now hell knows about them. Amen. But young people, I'm going to tell you, it ain't going to come easy. All right? It ain't going to come easy. You're going to have to fight for it. Oh, come on, somebody. I said, you're going to have to fight for it. Amen. But there is going to be, a revolution in this life. I still believe we're living in the last days. But if I believe that, Pastor Scott, I still believe that there's a remnant that is still coming up. I still believe that there's a greater outpouring. And it's going to start when hell gets a revelation that we are just a bunch of losers in this generation. But I'm bold bought with the blood of Calvary. I'm called by the Holy Ghost. I've been anointed. I'm full of the power of God. My God, I wish I had some Holy Ghost filled young people to shout hallelujah right there. I want the enemy to know who I am. Amen. I come to make a proclamation this morning. I want addiction to know who you are. I want depression to know who you are. I want anxiety to know who you are. You've been labeled by that long enough, honey. But if you bought with the blood of Jesus, depression don't have room here. I'm going to say it again. Addiction ain't got no room here. Anxiety ain't got no power here. You're not identified by your depression. You're identified. I'm blood bought. I'm a child of God. I've been bought. Devil, you're going to know who I am. Listen, I'm not talking about in a prideful way. I'm talking about a confident way in the spirit. It's not about who knows me, but I want every devil in hell to know exactly who I am, what I'm doing, why I'm here, and what I'm about to do in my life. Hallelujah. Let me ask you this. Anybody know who Cassius Clay is? Amen. Raise your hand if you know who Cassius Clay is. All right. Bunch of the older ones. Amen. What about Muhammad Ali? Yeah. All right. Do you know that Cassius Clay and Muhammad Ali are the same person? Before his that Muhammad Ali was his birth name. Cassius Clay was his name given by white people in that day, and what he considered to be his slave name is what he referred to it. It's my slave name. But in a world when he was rising up as an African-American boxer, we know Muhammad Ali is the greatest boxer that's ever stepped inside of a ring. But before he became Muhammad Ali, he was only known as Cassius Clay. And there was a fight that was going on that would end up being one of the biggest fights of Muhammad Ali's legend. And at the time, he was just considered Cassius Clay. Stay with me. I'm going somewhere with this. But before the fight, I mean, it was a big fight. Everybody was getting ready for it. There was news talks about it. It was on TV. It was everywhere. And before the fight, they had a pre-fight conference where Cassius Clay, and his rival, a boxer by the name of Terrell, came together, getting ready to fight, getting ready to box. They were in a pre-conference fight. I don't know if it was the night before, or maybe a couple days before the fight, I'm not sure. But in that fight, in that conference, there came a little tension. There was some tension building up in the room between Terrell. Am I saying that right, Terrell? Am I saying the right Terrell? We'll go with it. Amen. Well, Terrell and Cassius Clay. And Cassius Clay demanded in that conference room, I'm done being labeled by my slave name. You're going to call me by my birth name, by my real name, Muhammad Ali. Well, the boxer Terrell realized that he hit a sore spot, so he began riding that and began, Cassius Clay, that's all you'll ever be. That's all you're ever going to be. That's who you are. Muhammad Ali said, no, it's not. They actually had to put the conference to an end because they were about to fight right then and there. So they pulled him apart. And as Cassius Clay was walking out of the conference room, he looked back at that boxer Terrell, and reporters say that he looked at him and he said, before the fight's over with, you're going to know what my real name is. And I felt the Holy Ghost right there. Before the fight is over with, you're going to know what my name is. They entered into that ring, and for 15 rounds, Cassius Clay taunted and straight demolished the boxer Terrell, and it's gone down in history, and they call it the What's My Name fight. Because the entire fight, every time Muhammad Ali got him up against the ropes, he began to taunt him, saying, what's my name? What's my name? What's my name? He'd say, Cassius Clay, he'd beat him some more. What's my name? Well, I'm not letting you out of this ring, and I'm not going to let you tap out, and I'm not going to let you quit until you say, what my name? Man, I feel the Holy Ghost rising up in this house. Young people, this is a war room. I said, this is is a battleground, and I need some young people that are hungry enough for the Holy Ghost that'll step in the ring with the devil and say, I'm not leaving this camp until you know who I am. I'm done being identified by my problem. I'm done being identified by my struggle. I've been bought with the blood of Jesus. There's a call on my life. And devil, you're going to know who I am. You're going to know my name. Amen. And for 15 rounds, Muhammad Ali, and from then on, it became the what's my name fight. You want to know what happened after that fight? Nobody ever referred to him as Cassius Clay again, but he was known as Muhammad Ali, and it was the legend was birthed in that boxing ring, and I feel it in the Holy Ghost that God wants to birth some revolutionizers in this house this morning. There's some young lady about to get so full of the Holy Ghost, heaven knows your name, but hell's about to find out. I'm more than just a pretty face. I'm more than just what appears. I've got a call on my life. And hell is going to know who we are. Listen, let me make a disclaimer right here. I don't care if the world ever knows my name. Come on, somebody. That deserved a little bit more amens. I said, I don't care if the world ever knows my name. I don't care if they ever put me on billboards or if anybody, but I want my name to echo in the depths of hell until every demonic spirit in my town, in my school. Why don't you take that spirit to your school? That's your battleground. Look the devil in the face and say, this year it's different. I got a hold of something. My God, I wish I could preach like I want to. Come on, young people. Hell's going to know who you are. I don't care if I get a famous profile. That's what we need. And some young people that say, I don't care who knows my name, but I want hell to know exactly who I am. Young people, let me ask you a question. Does hell shake in their boots when you get up in the morning? I said, does hell shake in their shoes when you get up in the morning? I want you so full of the Holy Ghost that when you get out of your bed and your feet hit the floor, that all the devils in hell begin to scream, she's up! When you start your day and you walk into that school system that's perverted and turned upside down, I want every devil in hell to be dodging the locker rooms because there's a Holy Ghost filled young man, there's an anointed young lady, and I know exactly who they are. They've got an identity in Christ Jesus. Woo, hallelujah. Hallelujah. I know you might say, Brother Stephen, you have high expectations of me. Amen. This is my desire for every single one of you at youth camp, and I believe it's God's desire. Can I get some counselors to go with me? Amen. Listen, I'm going to say it again. I've said this before here. It's not the will of God that you struggle your whole teenage life. Come on, somebody. It is not the will of God that you struggle with addiction your entire teenage life. Wait till you go to Bible school to finally get free. Well, I'm going to wait till I graduate high school. Then I can start preaching. Then I can start doing a work for God. Young people, take a look at this world. You might not have that long. We don't need you tomorrow. We don't need you next week. We don't need you next truth camp. We needed you yesterday. I said, we needed you yesterday. We need hell to know exactly who we are. This is my prayer, that when you lay your head down at night and you finally go to sleep, that hell wipes their face and says, thank God he's asleep. Oh, I feel the Holy Ghost. Thank God she's asleep. At least now I can get some rest for the next 8 hours or so. Then we mess that up when we dream dreams and see visions. My God. Whoa.
Man, I felt that right there. I said, hey, even in my sleep, what's my name? What's my name? You're going to know who I am. You're going to know what I stand for. You're going to know I'm about to turn my city upside down. I'm about to put my youth group on fire in hell. You're going to know who I am. Hallelujah. Listen, I'm sorry. I know I'm going full, but I didn't come to play games. We ain't got time for that. Can I just be honest with you? Young people, we do not have time for that. God needs an army today that'll rise up. The kingdom of heaven suffereth violence. I said the kingdom of heaven suffereth violence. Our churches are suffering violence. Our school systems are suffering violence. And I'm going to tell you the truth of the fact is, I can't get in there. Come on. They keep us out. And if they let us in, they keep us on a leash. But you want to know something? They can't do nothing to stop you. I said, they can't do it. A few years ago, there was a youth camp that went on in Southern Ohio. And there was some young man that got so on fire for God. He left there. He was already filled with the Holy Ghost, but he left there, amen, with the determination that I'm going to let hell know who I am. As soon as the school started, he went up and he grabbed his Bible. He took it to the school. And on his lunch break, he stood up on a table and he began preaching the word of Jesus Christ. He began preaching to the crowds that were walking by. Somebody went and told the principal. The principal came over here and said, son, listen, you can't be doing that out here like this. Come on, somebody. In a respectful and a humble way, he looked at him. He said, well, listen, principal, I don't understand something. This boy over here every break gets his guitar and he's singing country music. And nobody shut him up. And we got a Satanist group over here that's gathering together and praying to Satan, and nobody shut them up. So why can't I stand here and preach the gospel? The principal looked at him and said, you got me there, son. Keep preaching. You want to know what happened? They started a revival, and that young boy became the missionary to that public school system. And before it was over with, the revival done hit that home. And hell got a revelation that there's a young boy. We didn't know who he was last week. But somewhere at Truth Camp, he done got a hold of the Holy Ghost. God in heaven. I wish I had some that would reach down in your spirit and say, God, I want hell to know who I am. I want to carry an identity in Christ Jesus. The kingdom of heaven suffereth violence, and the violence take it by force. I'm going to say it again. Take it by force. We're done with Mr. Nice Guy. We're done playing patty cake. I'm done stepping on toes. I'm going on the war path for King Jesus. I'm joining the army of the Lord. And before it's over with, devil, you're going to know my name. I said, you're going to know my name. Anybody ever played that game, uncle or aunt? I don't know. Amen. You know, the game you like to play with your little siblings. When you twist their arms, and all the ways that the arm ain't supposed to be twisted. Come on, somebody. I ain't the only one that played that game. Come on. What's the password? You got to say uncle. Maybe you did aunt. I don't know. Amen. It's a little weird. You got to say uncle. That's the password. Amen. If you're like me, I improvised. I didn't use uncle. I used my name. I had four siblings, so I had my pick from it, too. What's my name? Put my...
probably shouldn't be saying this at a youth camp. Amen. Put my knee right on their neck with just a little bit of pressure. Amen. Come on, somebody. Just a little bit of pressure. Bending their arm just a little bit back this way. Facing the dirt. No. Yes, yes, yes. Say my name. Say my name. You ain't getting up until you say my name. You know what I was doing? I was making him recognize who the boss is. Amen. I was making him recognize who's really got the power. My God in heaven. Luke says, Jesus said in the book of Luke, he said, I give unto you power to tread upon scorpions and pick up serpents. I give you power. Amen. He said, and then all these things that come against you, they shall by no means harm you. Amen. I wish somebody in this house would play a spiritual uncle game with the devil. I said, I'm tired of this generation taking everything on their backs. Oh, come on, somebody. I'm tired of this generation taking everything off the chin from the enemy and just accepting it how it is. But we need some Holy Ghost filled, anointed of God, called by the word of God. Young people that'll get up, put your foot on the enemy's neck and say, I'm not going to let you up until you recognize that you ain't got the power. You ain't got the authority. But all power has been given unto me by the word of Christ Jesus. Amen. Devil, say my name. Say my name. Some of you have done let the enemy taunt you way too long. 1 year after another, you letting him wave your past in your face. You letting him wave those mistakes that you made in your face and say, this is the reason you can't be anointed. This is the reason you can't be used of God. This is the reason you've counted yourself out. But I wish somebody in this house would take the authority that was given to you, put your foot on the devil's neck and say, devil, we ain't leaving this altar service until you recognize you no longer have power over me. I wish I had some young people right there that would lift your heads and let the enemy know. Today's the day. Enough is enough. I'm taking back what the Holy Ghost says is mine. I'm done taking it on my back. I'm done taking this mess. Devil, you're going to know who I am. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. As a child of God, you have authority. Come on, somebody. I said you have authority. Let me ask you something. Anybody in this house ever got a whooping? Put your hands down. I didn't ask if you got a whipping. All right. I didn't ask if you got a little spanking, a little slap on the wrist. Don't do that again, or mommy's going to be upset. Come on, somebody. I mean, did somebody get a whooping where you didn't sit down for the next 5 hours? And I avoided all eye contact with my mom and dad for the next week. Come on, somebody. Amen. It wasn't that long ago for me. Amen. Let me ask you this. Did anybody's parents ever ask you permission to whip you? No. That'd be a little weird. Honey, come in here. Would you mind if... Yes. Well, I was thinking you probably need discipline, so I'm thinking I'm going to... Oh, no, thank you. Okay, do better next time. No, I mean, it sure didn't happen in my house. I doubt that it's ever happened in your home. You want to know why they never asked permission to whoop you? Because it's their house. And they ain't got to get permission to whoop who they want in their own house. Oh, my God in heaven. It's my house. You want to know what I love about some mamas? They whoop anybody's kids. Come on, somebody. Brother Scott said, that's the way I am. I mean, you over at my house and my kids getting whipping, you getting a whipping too. Amen. Line up. I know you did something. Come on. I'm definitely going to get in trouble now. You want to know why? Because it's my house. And I'm going to whoop who I want, when I want, for whatever reason I want to, in my house. Young people, why are you acting like this ain't your house?
Why are you acting like this ain't your place? I'm tired of letting the enemy ride over and over and over the children of this generation. We need a spiritual boldness that'll get up and realize, devil, this ain't your house. This is the house of my Father, and I'm going to whoop who I want, when I want, whenever I... My God, I wish somebody would just start whooping some demonic spirits that have been all over you this past year. Somebody needs to take their liberty, lay the devil out, and say, not in my house. You're going to know who I am before I wish somebody would get spiritually offensive with the devil and let him know enough is enough. I'm going to whoop every devil in my home. I'm going to whoop every devil in my school. I'm going to whoop every devil in my youth group. I'm tired of seeing them drop like flies. Enough's enough. We're going to go for Jesus. Devil, hit up. I feel the Holy Ghost. Devil, I'm about to beat your head like a Cherokee drum. Amen. I'm about to punch your face in with my hallelujah, because you're going to get a revelation today. You're going to know my name. Hallelujah. You guys get a hold of what's being preached all week long, and what no doubt the man of God's going to be preaching the rest of this week. You're going to go home, and your parents are going to wonder what in the world got into you. You're going to go back. I know I keep bringing up schools because that's just, man, I can't do nothing about it. But you can. I can't get in there, but you can. And you've been walking up and down those school grounds. And hell doesn't even know who you are. I'm a child of God. Hell don't know that. Come on, somebody. The Bible didn't say these sons of Sceva had sin in their lives. The Bible didn't say that. Maybe they did. I don't know. But the Bible didn't specify. It just said, they said, Jesus, we know. And Paul, I know. But who are you? My God in heaven, I pray that the day never comes when hell raises its ugly head and says, who is Stephen Taylor? I pray the day never comes when the enemy spikes up his ugly head and says, who's Macy Brown? Who's Macy Steed? Who's Jonathan Ochoa? Oh, hold on. Who'd you say? Come here, Jose. Hey, man, he don't like it when I do this. I was walking the grounds last night. Is this all right? Man, I was walking the grounds last night getting ready for this service. I was on security, and after security, I came in this building about 1 o'clock to have a talk with Jesus. And I walked in. I got about halfway through that pew, down that aisle, and I felt it. Oh, the Holy Ghost is already here. As I began to draw closer, it got thicker and thicker and thicker. And then I realized why. Because this young man at 1 o'clock in the morning is laying over there and his face to the floor, crying out for that anointing that Brother Brian McDonald preached about yesterday morning. I'm not here to elevate anybody. He's the last person that would want to do this. But I walked in, and before I seen him, Brother Scott, I told the Lord, I said, you're still here. I mean, I walked in, Brother Sean, I felt it. I said, you're still here. And then I seen him, and the Holy Ghost spoke straight to me, as sure as he's ever spoke to me before. He said, he's still here, so I ain't leaving. You want to know what that was? That was the heart of a young man that says, God, I don't care if the world knows my name. I don't care if I'm popular on social media. I'm not interested in how many likes I get on Instagram, how many followers I get, or how many people viewed my profile. But I want my Holy Ghost profile to be indented into the mind of every demonic spirit. I want hell to know, God, give me that anointing. Give me the power of God. Let me come in contact with the Spirit of God. I want hell to know who I am. Does hell know who you are? Today, I'm getting ready to close. Today, we're enamored with the world of social media. Come on, somebody. And it's a powerful tool if used in the right way. I'm not preaching against social media, but we are enamored all over the country that I travel. I see young people. Service ain't even over yet, and they're updating their profile. Come on, somebody. Figured I'd have some counselors help me right there. They're more worried about how many followers they got than who they're following. Come on. But if we're going to see a revolution in this day, if we're going to see this world turned upside down one more time like they did in the book of Acts, it's not going to be from a bunch of generation that's worried about if the world knows who I am, if the world sees me. I don't care. There's only two places I care about my name being known. The first one is in the portals of glory, because I want to make sure my name is known there. And the second place is that when my name is mentioned in the corridors of hell, every demon needs to shake, saying we know who he is. He's a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ. He's got a calling on his life. She came in contact with the anointing of the Holy Ghost. My God, I wish somebody would lift your hands and lift your voices and shout until the devil hears you. Come on, you waiting on me, I'm waiting on you. Somebody shout right now until hell hears you. Somebody make some noise and wake every devil up. You're going to know who we are. Devil, say my name. Say my name. Say it. Say my name. Say my name. You're going to know me. You're going to know the anointing. You're going to... Come on, don't stop. I need some musicians right now. Come on. Come on, young people. Lift your voice. Come on, devil. Say my name. Come on, young people. I'm fighting for you, but I want to fight with you. Don't move yet. Don't move yet. Come on. Come on, I want to hear you. I want to hear you. Come on, I want hell to hear you. Come on. Say, Brother Stephen, that's just a bunch of emotion. Nope. Hey, devil, it's Stephen Taylor and an army, and we're coming for you. I'm going to go back home and tackle my youth group. I'm going to go back home and tackle my city, but hell is going to know who we are. Come on, I'm about to pull you into this altar service. As they begin to play, somebody's about to find their identity in the Holy Ghost this morning. Say, Brother Stephen, what's your point? I'll tell you what my point is. I want the devil to change his opinion about you. I said, I want the devil to change his opinion about who you are. Hell's got something in their minds of who you are, what you stand for, and all you're going to accomplish. But I wish somebody would give the devil a shock treatment in this house and say, I'm going to get so full of the Holy Ghost. I'm going to get so full of the Spirit. Say my name, devil. Say my name. Come on, say my name. You're going to know who I am. Come on, somebody lift your hands. Shout until addiction knows your name. Shout until depression knows your name. Shout until hell. Say, Brother Stephen, I'm saved, I'm sanctified, I'm filled with the Holy Ghost, maybe all of the above, but I want hell to know without a doubt who I am. Strip those pews right now. Come on. Come on. Line up. Stand to your feet. Come on. Stand up. Lift your hands towards heaven. We're about to give hell a revelation. He's going to know Holton Mullins. He's going to know Jose Bernal. He's going to know who we are. Thank you. Come on, lift your voices. You waiting on the song, the song's waiting on you. Come on, lift your voices.
We are in the army of the Lord. We've been washed in the blood, and we are
addiction's gonna know who I am.
There's nothing that can stop this mighty movement. A praise, a two-edged sword. Every stronghold of bondage must fall beneath our feet. Every prisoner held captive must be free.
How about a young person? How about a young lady? Does hell know who you are? Does hell know who you are? Well, he's going to today. He's going to get a revelation.
The army of the
right now.